Welcome, everybody. Please open up to Rambam Hilchis Yisoidei HaTorah, Perek Beis. This is the opening section of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. Yesterday we learned chapter 1, and today we learn the laws of the fundamentals of Torah, the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, the fundamentals of Halacha, actually. Chapter 2, Perek Sheni. Says the Rambam, Halacha Aleph, Hak el hanichbad vahanoira haze mitzvah la ahavoi uliyira oisoi shenemar vaftas Hashem alakecha vanemeres Hashem alakecha tira. Hashem, who is nichbad vinoira. Nichbad vinoira, they translate as the glorious and awesome divine creator. Nichbad is the glorious from the word kavod, and hanoira is the awesome one. And the Rambam uses these two terms, not randomly, of course. No expression in the Rambam is random. He was precise and meticulous with every word because it's these two terms that elicit the two emotions that he describes. This God who is glorious and awesome, there's a mitzvah to love him, to develop a love, to cultivate an ava, and a mitzvah to cultivate yira, which is awe, reverence. And he brings psukim, of course. One is from Parshas Veschanan. We all know this pasuk very well. It's from the Shema. V'ahavtas Hashem alekecha, you should love Hashem, your God. And the second pasuk, also in Dvarim, es Hashem alekecha tir, in Parshas Veschanan, you should fear God, you should experience awe towards God. Asks the Rambam the great question, halacha beis, ve'eichi haderech la'avasu yuliyirasu. What is the path to love Hashem and to experience awe of Hashem? And the Rambam here presents his classic, extraordinary answer. How one achieves this halacha. This is a halacha, it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of love, and there's a mitzvah of awe. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. V'avtas Hashem alakecha, Hashem alakecha tira. What's the derech? What's the path to achieve this? Says the Rambam, B'shoa sheyizboinin ha'odam b'masov u'bruav ha'nifloyim v'hagdoilu. When a person contemplates and meditates on God's actions and on his creations, which are absolutely glorious and wondrous, stupendous and extraordinary, and he will see from them and in them the divine wisdom, the divine energy, which has no erech and no kates. No kates means it's limitless, and it surpasses any type of comparison. And the person comes in contact with infinity. The person studying the world, a person studying Hashem's creation, says the Rambam, comes in contact with divine infinity, with divine reality, with the divine energy, with the divine wisdom. Miyad, immediately. Hu oyev, he loves. Umishabeach, extols. Umefoyer, glorifies. Umisave, taive, gdoila, leida, Hashem, agadol. And experiences an extraordinary, powerful yearning, aspiration, pining, craving to know, to come in contact with Hashem's truth, with the great God, Hashem HaGadol. Mis'ava taiva g'doyla is his words. He has this tremendous desire to know this, the great name. Literally, Hashem HaGadol is the great name. K'may sha'amar David. This is expressed in the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim chapter 42. David says, Tzama nafshi le'loikim le'kel chai. My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. Tzama nafshi le'loikim. U'kishem echashev. What is the Rambam telling us here? The Rambam is saying that when somebody contemplates, delves into, analyzes, dissects Hashem's creation and every single creation, all of his acts and every nivra, every one of bruv, and each one is wondrous. It's nifla, its intricacies, the system, the collective system, the individual nuances and details, all the aspects of it. Every nivra is nifla. It's stupendous. It's extraordinary. It's gigantic. It's major, and a person perceives in it the divine wisdom, and a person perceives in it infinity. That's what the Rambam says. You see Hashem's wisdom, which has no comparison, there's no comparison to it, and ein lakeitz. This evokes a sense of deep, deep praise, deep appreciation, deep gratitude, and deep yearning, and deep love to come in contact with it, to know it, to have a relationship with it, to be close to it. And the Rambam says, "Ukshemechasha bedvorim elu atzma." And when you think about these very things themselves, there is also a very different emotion. Miyad hu nirta l'achayrav. This expresses itself in a sensation where the person recoils. Nirta l'achayrav means like I recoil. V'yirav yifchad, with a sense of deep awe, deep reverence. V'yodeya, the person becomes aware. Shehu bir yektana shvela afela oimid bedas kala mu'uta lufnei tamim deyas. The person becomes aware that he is a tiny, lowly, and dark, small creature standing with his flimsy, limited wisdom before the one who is of perfect knowledge, of wholesome perception. K'ma shamar David, here too, David HaMelech, in the same book, in the same Sefer Tehillim, chapter 8, gives expression when he says, Ki erish amecha, maisi etzbeisecha, yoreach v'choychav masher koinonta, mo enoish kisiskirenu, uven odom kisifkidenu. David HaMelech says, when I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, he continues, the moon, the stars that you have established, I wonder, what is the human being that you should recall him? The ma'enoish kisiskirenu, what does the human being recall him? The person feels humble. The person feels small. The person gets overwhelmed with a sense of reverence and awe in the presence of infinity. This is what the Rambam calls Yiras Hashem, the awe of divinity. Ulefi advarim elu. And thus, based on these words that I just told you, this is a book of halacha. There's two halachas, there's two laws, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And this is the sefer that is the ultimate guide, the Rambam said, for halacha. So therefore I have to do something right now. Lefi advarim elu. Very unusual for a halachic work. But this is what I have to do now. What do I have to do? Ani mevayir klolim gedolim mimaisi ribayin ha'ilamim. I'm going to explain great principles from the work, about the work of the Creator of the world. Kedei sheyiyu pesach lameivin lev es Hashem. So they should serve as a vista, as an opening for the discerning person to be able to experience the love of Hashem. It's interesting, he doesn't say in here, he doesn't say the word yira. He just says ava. It should be a vista for avas Hashem. Because it could be, because the Rambam is saying that the awe is always a result of the love. Because it's coming from the very same awareness that brought out the love, which is very fascinating. That according to the Rambam, yiras Hashem is a direct offspring, it's a derivative of avas Hashem. He says, when I contemplate these very ideas and truths that brought out such a love, that itself, these truths itself, produce in the healthy, functional human being the sense of awe and the sense of reverence. So he says, I have to explain great principles about creation, so it should be a door for the discerning person to be able to love. As the sages said about love, the Rambam quotes in Sefer HaMitzvos, one of the teachings of our sages, that when a person learns, delves into, and studies Hashem's creation, from this, atamakir, from this you recognize the one who spoke and the world came into being. I recognize divinity. I recognize something about godliness. And this sensation is one of deep love and profound awe. It reminds me, they tell a story, a beautiful story about the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, who was the founder of Chabad. He was born 1745, passed away 1812. And he once went to Shklov. Shklov is a city in Lithuania. And it was a city filled with Ga'onim, Talmidei Chachamim, Bnei Torah. And he went to the shul and he went on to the bimah. And the Baal Tanya gave a clap on the bimah. And he used to speak, he used to communicate with a famous niggun, with a melody. He would always communicate, even regular conversation with a niggun. And actually this niggun of this statement, it was shared by one of the people who was there, Rabbi Yosef Kolber was his name. And he shared it with subsequent generations of disciples. And it came down all the way to our generation. The niggun with which the Baal Tanya said these words, he stood up on the bimah, he gave a clap and he said, Tamuru ki tov avaya, farzucht vetirzen, as der Eibishter is gut. Tamu, again from Tehillim. Tehillim Lamed Dalad, some of us say Shabbos morning. Tamu, taste, tam. Tamu fazucht uru, and you will see ki toiv Hashem, as getlichkeit is good, that godliness is good. It's delicious. It's desirable. The Rambam says when you come in contact with infinity, when you touch infinity, when you sense the truth of divinity, of the divine reality, it results in a tremendous sense of tainug. He says, you glorify, you love, you yearn, you pine, you want more and more and more. This is the Rambam's definition and path to Avas Hashem. When somebody looks at the world, anything, big picture or the small picture, you get in touch with Edelkeit. And when you get in, I'm using a Yiddish word, Edelkeit is refinement, the ultimate transcendent truth, the core simplicity of reality. And the Rambam says you can't resist that when you observe it. Because somebody once said, I don't know what he's talking about. If you get in touch with it, you can't resist it. You want it more and more. It's too lovable. It's too geschmack. Tamu uruki toiv Hashem. It's worthwhile to mention a beautiful teaching of the Malbim. The Malbim was one of the great rabbinic scholars and leaders of the 19th century. He passed away Rosh Hashanah Tov Resh Mem, that would be 1879. His name was Reb Meir Leibish ben Reb Yechiel Michel, Malbim. Meir Leibish ben Yechiel Michel, Reb Meir Leibish Weiser was his last name. He was born in Ukraine, he was the rabbi of Bucharest, Romania. He was a very influential figure, also suffered a lot of persecution, and wrote brilliant commentary on the Tanakh, as well as many other works. So the Malbim writes on the Pasuk in Ashrei, Dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha. What does that mean? From generation to generation, your works are praised. Says the Malbim, we know that the word shvach also means it becomes better. It becomes increased. In Gemara you have a lot. Shvach peiris, shvach hasada. The field increases. It's promoted, it is benefit to it. It becomes better and superior. It's meshubach. So the Malbim says, dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha. In each generation, we learn more to appreciate your work, because in each generation, as we develop new tools in science, new scientific technological tools, to be able to see the world, to be able to see the person, to be able to see any part of the world, yishabach masecha, your work becomes better and better, meaning we perceive so much more of the incredible, infinite wisdom that is embedded in every tiny detail of nature. And how true was the Malbim writing in the 1800s? How true we can apply this today. What the Rambam is saying, the more you learn, the more you study, the more you explore, what do you see? You see the more oneness. You see the more infinity. You see the incredible wisdom. You see the holistic oneness and harmony of creation. You see the infinite potentiality and incredible holiness and depth that exists in every single being individually and in all of us collectively. You know, you study, whether it's neuroscience, whether it's cosmology, whether it's astronomy, whether it's biology, whether it's geology, all fields of science, physics. With each year, literally, humanity gets to see more and more of these words of the Rambam, the Chachma She'ein La Erech Ve'ein La Ketz, the imprint of absolute infinity in every cell, in every molecule, in every atom, in every subatomic particle, from this tiniest flea to the greatest black hole. Never mind when we start studying the DNA, the genetic code of every living organism. So the Rambam says, whenever you study the world and you find out about Hashem, you find that about Hashem, what Hashem, something about Hashem, His wisdom, His expression, His infinity, it results in ahava v'yira, love and awe. Zok de Rambam weiter. And here he begins his presentation. Kol ma'ashe bara kadosh baruch hu ba'ilamay nechlek l'shloisha chalokim. Anything that Hashem created in His world is divided into three categories. Mehem. One category is bruyim, creatures, shehem mechubarim, migoylim v'tzura. They are comprised of a goylim. Goylim is matter, and tzura is a form. And what the Rambam means here by tzura, as he will explain later in the subsequent chapters, is the spiritual content of that matter. So you have a what we would call like the body, and you have the electricity of the body, the life force, which gives it functionality, which gives it meaning, which gives it purpose. It's like the essence of it, the soul of it. That's called the tsura of it. That's what the Rambam means by the tsura of it, the form of it. That which gives it its ultimate substance, and it vivifies it. It allows it to be animated, to be alive. So you have the chaymer, the goylem. The goylem is like the raw material, the physical matter. And the tsura is the electricity, the currents, the soul that animates the matter. Vehem hoivim v'nif sadim tamid. And these are creatures that come into existence, and then they die, they perish. K'may gufois ha'adam, like the body of a human being, bodies of human beings. V'habehema, or all the bodies of animals. They have their time, they live, and then they die and they decompose. V'atzmachim, and all of the plants. The whole world of botany. V'hamatchas, and all of the metals. And if you realize, the Rambam here mentioned four categories. He mentioned the famous four categories of doimim, tzemeach, chai, medaber, in the opposite order. Doimim would be inanimate matter, inorganic matter like metals. And then he mentioned smachim, which is tzemeach, the world of produce and vegetation. He mentioned the bodies of animals, all mammals and all living creatures outside of the human being. That's chai. And then he mentioned medaber. That was actually his first one. You see, he went in the order from, in the hierarchy, he went from human to animal to plant to metals. That's one form of creation. Umehem, there's also something else, other form that God created. Bruyim she mechubarim megoylem v'tzura. Creations that are also comprised of raw matter. I'm translating goylem as raw matter. Matter, yeah. They're also made up of matter and tzura and form and a soul and an energy. But they don't change from body to another body or from form to form like the first type of creations. The human, the animal body or the human body, at some point it dies, the body decomposes. Nutrients of it become part of the earth. The same is true with vegetation and produce. The vegetation and produce suddenly is digested by an animal. From an animal, it becomes the bloodstream of an animal. So it goes through all types of changes. The guf goes through changes. The tzura goes through changes. But now we're talking about creations. They also have matter and energy. Matter and energy. But it doesn't, it remains fixed. It remains permanent. Tzurasam kvua begolmam la'olam. Their soul, their energy remains fixed in their matter. Permanently. They don't go through these constant commutations and changes. I'm referring to, the Rambam says, the spheres and their stars, the stars inside of them. The Rambam is now talking about what we would call the heavenly bodies, the heavenly constellations, where you talk about, for example, the sun and the moon. There's also the matter and there's the energy and all the other galaxies and all the other stars and all the other planets. But it doesn't go through that process that we observe here in the ecosystem on Earth and in the very delicate balance of the ecosystem where everything gives and takes and is constantly changing and fluctuating from one form into another form, one body in another body, one energy in another energy, constantly. That's how it goes around in the food chain and the food web. That's how the Earth works. The sun has been the sun for thousands and thousands of years. It's been the sun. It has its body and its soul. The same is true with the heavenly bodies. Their body, their matter is not like the matter that we observe here. And it's not the same form either. And then you have a third category. Bruyim, creations, which are tzura b'loy goylem klal. It's form without matter. Energy, soul, but no matter. Vehem, this is what we call malachim, angels. Shamalachim einam gufu gviya letzuris nefrade zumizu. Angels are not made up of a guf and a gviya. Guf is a body, and a gviya is a corporal being with a corporal physique. Rather, they are energies. They are spiritual energy, spiritual electricity, if you wish, and nefrade zumizu. And they're distinct from each other. They're separated from each other, but they're not separated each other by the physical matter and the physical body that distinguishes, say, one ant from another ant, one flea from another flea, one table from another table, one piece of metal from another piece of metal. Umauz dalad, umauz ashanavim, oimrim shiro, amalach eshu bal knafayim. Didn't you grow up learning that an angel has a bunch of wings, right? And this is not just, you know, childlike stories. The Nevi'im, the prophets, speak about the fact that they observed an angel, a malach, as fire or somebody who has wings. Hakol b'mara hanavuah. The Rambam says this is a vision. This was a prophetic vision of the way a certain energy was manifested in the vision of the prophet. V'derech chida. Derech chida means it's like code-like. It's like a parable. It's like when you give a parable, so the parable allows you to understand the theme that is behind the parable. But the theme is not to be equated with the parable. So wings, fiery angels, all this, the Rambam says, is a chida. It's a parable. Chida they often use as a riddle. In this case, it's a riddle, meaning you see a physical image, and it's really a riddle. It's trying to serve as a parable, as a metaphor, for an idea, for a spiritual idea. Loimar, what we mean to say is she'enei guf, because the malach is not a body. And because the malach is not a body, so therefore, obviously, these are all visions and parables. She'enei guf ve'enei kovet k'guf ha'sakvedim. He is not heavy. And ve'enei kovid, and doesn't exert that heaviness, kegufas hakvedim, as other physical bodies. Doesn't these properties, which we call, you know, today we would say that which is subjected to the laws of gravity, and it has this heaviness, this mass, this volume, it doesn't apply to this. K'mei shenemar. The Pesach says in the Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem alekech eish oichlehu, dvarim perik dalet. God, your God, is a consuming fire. Ve'enei eish, so Hashem is a blazing fire. Ela mashal, again, it's a parable. K'mo shenemar, we have a pasuk in Tehillim Kovdal, Oysem al achav ruchos. Hashem makes his angels as winds. Here again, it is a parable. Hey, uba meyi parduat surizumizu, vare einon gufin. Since they possess no body, what separates the form of the angels one from each other? If they would possess a body, I could understand. They're distinct from each other because each one has its own space, its own physical identity. What separates one angel, one malach, from another? Why do we say there's different creations? So the Rambam says, what separates from one another is lefi she'enon shavois b'mitziyusan, because their existence is not alike. Each one is below the level of the other and exists by virtue of the influence of the higher one. In other words, there is a progression of levels, one above the other. All of them exist from the energy and the goodness of Hashem. This is intimated in the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, who says, Ki gavaya may al gavaya shaymer, and he concludes ugvayim alayim. Shlomo HaMelech says, because above the one who is high, there is a watcher, and there are others higher than them. So what distinguishes one angel from another angel? The Rambam says, not physical distinctions, because they don't have physical matter. The difference is, one is lower in quality than his colleague, and on the contrary, he emerges, he evolves from the flow of the one who is above him. And all of them ultimately come from the divine flow of energy, from the divine energy, from the divine goodness. Gavoya me'al gavoya, shomer ugvoya malayim. Says the Rambam, remember, vav, zesha amarnu lematam imalosi shel chaveina. When I just told you that one angel is below the other angel, below the level of the other, einai milas makim. We're not referring to height in a spatial sense, k'may adam sheyoshev l'maylam mechaveira. Like you'll say, one person is sitting higher than his friend, his colleague. So you have physical space. One person is sitting on the top row, the next person is sitting on the next row, on the bottom row. We're not talking about that because we're referring her again to the third type of creatures, which is tzura b'li chaymer. Tzura b'li chaymer means a form without raw matter. That's what the Rambam says, tzura b'li goylem. That's what we call malachim. Again, not the malachim with wings. Malachim here is spiritual electricity, spiritual energy, which receives from a higher form of energy, which receives from a higher form of energy, from a higher form of energy. But higher doesn't mean here spatially. You know, this one is 100 light years up, and this one is 900 light years away. Rather, it would be like you're talking about two sages, and you say one is greater than the other one in wisdom. It doesn't mean he's greater, he's bigger than him. What does it mean he's bigger than him? It means he's physically bigger than him. When you say he's greater than him in wisdom, you're saying he's above, he's on a different level, on a different caliber. What does it mean he's above? He's physically above. It doesn't mean in physical terms. There's a great anecdote for this. I think I shared it once with the Chevra. There was in Dvinsk, in Latvia, in the city of Dvinsk, there were two giants, intellectual Torah giants, the rabbi of the Kehillah of the Ashkenazim and of the Kehillah of the Chassidim, Reb Meir Simcha Kohen of Dvinsk, the famous Ur Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, one of the great Lithuanian sages of the 19th century, passed away in the 1920s, I think 1926, and the Rogachover Gaon, Rabbeinu Yosef Rosen, the Tzofnas Paneach, who passed away 10 years later, 1936, Sar HaTorah. The Ur Sameach, Reb Meir Simcha, was somewhat bigger. The Rogachover was frail and skinny, and I think a pretty short fellow. In Shul, there was once an argument, you know, these classic arguments in Shul. The argument was, Ver is Gresser. Who's greater, the Rogachover or Reb Meir Simcha? So there were those who said the Rogachover, there's nobody like him. And the Reb Meir Simcha, there's nobody like him. Reb Meir Simcha, somebody once told Reb Meir Simcha, the Rogachover has a great memory. He said, it's not true, he doesn't have a good memory. So the person thought, you know, well, what is this, like envy? Like, Rogachover's memory was like, you know, one in generations. So Reb Meir Simcha said, you don't understand. A memory means you learned something a few days ago and you remember it. The Rogachover doesn't have to have a memory. Everything is in front of him. It's like you're reading it in the book. The whole Kol HaTorah Kula Mamash, it's in front of you. You don't need a memory. So there's this big argument in Shul, who's greater? Anyway, there's a little child. He's laughing. I think, why is he laughing? They call him over and they say, why are you laughing? He says, I can't imagine that intelligent people are standing here for an hour and arguing about such a foolish question. Who's greater? Who's bigger? Look, we all know who's bigger. Reb Meir Simcha is much bigger than Rogachover. Look how small the Rogachover is. Look how big Reb Meir Simcha is. They say to the child, no, we didn't mean bigger physically. We meant bigger in terms of intellectual greatness, intellectual genius, intellectual caliber. The kid says, yet zakter shem pshatim. Now you're just justifying yourself. You said bigger, greser. Bigger is bigger, and it's a foolish argument. We all know who's bigger. In the mind of the child, bigger means one thing. He is bigger than him. The Rambam says you have to get used to, you know, thinking more in abstract ways. You can have an idea that is more abstract. You say it's a higher idea. It's a deeper idea. It's a more nuanced idea. It touches a deeper layer or stratum of existence. That's what's called greater. That's what's called bigger. That's what's called higher. It reflects, if you want to use this language, you say it reflects more, it's more transparent of the infinity of creation. The Rambam says that's what we mean by the distinctions between one angel, another angel, another angel. It's like you would say about the ilah. The ilah means the cause that it transcends the effect. Ilah is the antecedent. Alul is that which comes from the ilah. The seed of the apple tree, the seed is the ilah for the alul, which is the apple tree. That's physically. You also have spiritually. The ilah is the thought that produces the alul, which is the offspring of it. So the ilah is always higher than the alul. It doesn't mean in spatial terms. It means it precedes it either in time or it precedes it in idea. Maybe not chronologically, but thematically, the ilah transcends the alul. It precedes the alul. It's higher than the alul. Higher doesn't mean it's higher. It's on the second floor versus the first floor. Higher is, in spiritual terms, higher. This is obviously a fundamental idea the Rambam wants us to understand. Says the Rambam weiter, Zayin Shinu Shemay Samalachem Al Shem Al Osamhu. The different names with which the angels are called reflect their spiritual levels. And here the Rambam tells us a fundamental idea. People attribute it to the Baal Shem Tov, but it's really here in the Baal Rambam. The truth is you have it in the Medrash also, the concept. That the name reflects the quality. It's not just different names, different qualities. And that's why you have the angels are known as Chayes HaKodesh. What does Chayes HaKodesh mean? The Holy Chayos. The Holy Chayos is, the Chayos is life, life energy, life. You could say the holy animals, but I think the right translation is the sacred manifestations of living energy. That's Chayos HaKadosh. They are above all of the other ones. Then you have, here he goes through, Oifanim, Erelim, Chashmalim, Srafim, Malachim, Elohim, Vnei Elohim, Kruvim, V'ishim. We just had 10 categories. Chayos HaKodesh are the holy beings. Oifanim means spheres. Very important word, Oifanim. We say it in the morning. Oifanim v'chayos HaKodesh, spheres. This becomes the spiritual source of the galaxies. Erela means exalted ones. Chashmala means, Chashmala in modern Hebrew is electricity, but Chashmala means fiery beings who communicate. Srafim means fire, fireballs. They're consumed in their passion. Malachim means messengers, emissaries. Elikim are judges. Ubnei Elikim are the sons of judges. Kruvim are cherubs, like childlike figures that they had in the Holy of Holies, cherubs. And you hear the name. It's already a diminished form of spiritual energy. And then of Ishim. Ishim means humans. And we'll soon see why. These 10 names with which these different angels are called represent 10 different qualities. And one is above the other. One is an alul from the ila. One is a result. It's a devolution of spiritual energy from one stage to another stage. The highest one, which above it is only God Himself, is known as Chayis, Chayis HaKadosh. That's why in the prophets, it says that this level of energy, this Chayis, is right under the crown of the throne of glory. Umayla Asiris, and the 10th one, the lowest one, Himaylas Hatsurah Shinikras Ishim. This is the quality of the angel called Ishim, which means humans. These are the angels that communicate with the prophets, and they appear in the vision of prophecy. That's why they're called Ishim, which literally means humans, because their quality is very close and accessible to the perception of the human being. So the Rambam is telling here, how the way that Hashem created the world, you have this concept of a spiritual evolution of energy that descends from one state to another state of consciousness, until we reach the consciousness of the human being. And the human being is connected to the level of Ishim, which receives from the level above Ishim. Right? We have above Ishim, you have Kruvim, Bnei Elikim, Elikim, Malachim, Srafim, Chashmalim, Erelim, Oifanim, and Chayos HaKodesh. And this allows also the human being to climb the ladder of spiritual consciousness, because we are a manifestation of the consciousness that is filtered through Ishim, which is filtered through the higher level, and this is the way the human being is aware and perceives of the spirituality inherent in his or her existence, and we grow that ladder in our own spiritual and psychological and emotional development. What is fascinating here, I should mention two things, and that is, what is the source for these 10 names of angels? If you look in all the Talmuds and all the Midrashim, you will not find this. You'll find a few names. Now, it's true that throughout the Tanakh, you have each one of these names mentioned, but in isolated forms. Here, the Rambam makes one cohesive unit with a list of 10. And the fascinating thing is that the source of this is in the Zohar. The 10 names of angels in this unit, even though they're not in the same order, are in Zohar in Parshas Boy. And this is one of the proofs that has been presented over the generations, the question of the Rambam's relationship to the Zohar. Did the Rambam see the Zohar? Did the Rambam use the Zohar? Here you have 10 names that are listed this way in the Zohar, even though in a different order. Another fascinating thing is, of course, the Rambam speaks about these 10 spiritual levels, which seems to be a fantastical mirror and reflection of an idea that is only introduced in Kabbalistic writing, known as the 10 spheros. That when Hashem wants to relate to create the world, He, so to speak, identifies within His infinity 10 definitive characteristics and qualities which become the 10 building blocks of creation. Here the Rambam talks about it in terms of Malachim, but the parallel is more than fascinating. but beyond the realm of this class. Ches, v'chol atzuriseilu, all these forms, all these spiritual forms. Chayim u'makirim es haboyri v'yoydem oisedei agdoy ladmoit. They are alive. They are alive. Don't think because they don't have a physical body, they're not alive. They are alive, and they recognize the Creator, and they know Him in a very profound way. They're aware of the Creator. Kol tzuri v'tzuri l'fi ma'alosa, loy l'fi gadloy. Each one understands something of God's reality according to his own quality, not according to the truth of the divine reality. Even the highest quality of the angel, the Chayas HaKodesh, doesn't have the capacity to grasp the truth of the Creator the way it is, because its perception is still limited. It can only grasp according to its ability. She grasps and knows more than the form that is lower, the angel that is lower than it grasps. It's interesting because the word that we use for masig is grasp, the physical term grasp. Now, when I grasp something, obviously I can only grasp something that could fit into my hand. My hand cannot grasp something that is beyond the limits of my hand. So grasping, I can only grasp that which fits into my hand. Intellectually, it's the same truth. I can only grasp reality which fits in to my intellectual hand, which fits in to my neural pathways. Now, I can expand that in life and open myself up more and more. That's what we all try to do. That's what the Rambam is trying to do for us as well. But we have to recognize this limit. So he says, even the Chayas HaKodesh, which is the one on the guy on the top, can only recognize truth according to his or its capacity. V'chein kol mailo mailo ad mailo asiris. And so you go down each one of these forms until the 10th. Gam hi yedas haboyre deya. She also perceives God with perceptiveness, that no human being here on earth who is comprised of matter and form can grasp like this angel who is divorced from physical form, from physical matter. But none of them, even the highest, get to know or understand or appreciate or perceive the Creator the way the Creator knows himself. I just thought of something when I was teaching, and that is the Rambam said there's three types of creations, right? Three types of creatures, beings in God's world. There's that which we're familiar here on our planet. They are comprised of a goylem and a tzura. Goylem is the raw matter, the physical form, and the tzura is the goylem is the matter, and the tzura is the energy. You have what he called the planets, the world, the heavenly world. And the Rambam says also there's a goylem and a tzura. There's matter and there's energy, but it's a different type of matter. It's a different type of energy. It doesn't go through those fluctuations and the vicissitudes that our ecosystem and web chain we're accustomed to with bodies of humans and animals and other living organisms and all plants and vegetation and inorganic matter, soil and everything that's in the soil and so forth. And then you have what's called tzura b'li goylem, an energy without matter. It's just a very interesting anecdote. I think Reb Chatzkel Besser used to share this. Reb Chatzkel Besser was a famous Radomsker Chassid, one of the leaders of Agudas Yisrael. He passed away a number of years ago, the rabbi of 84th Street. So I think he shared this, somebody shared it, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe went to visit the holy Belzer Rebbe, Rebbe Aaron of Belz, Rebbe Aaron Rekeach. He passed away in August, Chaf Aleph of 1957. He was a very, very holy Jew, and he came to visit, either it was Vienna or Berlin. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe was then a young man. He was a son-in-law of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he went into the Belzer Ruv with a famous Ger Chassid. And the Belzer Ruv used to give everybody shalom, but he would wear a glove. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was a young man, he was then a student in university, went by the Belzer Rav, Reb Aaron, who was known as Kadosh Hashem. He was a holy Jew, and he took off his glove and he gave him shalom. And so somebody later asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe about the Belzer Rav, Reb Aaron Belzer, and he said these words, three words captured something. He said, Tzura b'li chaymer. This is the words of the Rambam. Tzura b'li chaymer. Energy without matter. And probably, if you know about the Belzer Ruv, Rabbi Aaron Belzer, it's probably an incredible, incredible, accurate description. Tzura b'lichaymer, a Jew who went days and days without eating, and he really lived in a different planet, quite literally, pun intended. Tzura b'lichaymer. So this is the expression that Rambam uses here in Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah. I should just mention, I'm going to mention one detail, and that is, in many subsequent Svarim, this division that the Rambam makes here is seen and reflected in many aspects of Yiddish. Now, the Rambam said, everything Hashem created in the world can be divided into three parts. If that's the truth, that means that this trio is somehow part of the system of creation, part of the DNA of creation. So you see something very interesting. The Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, which is the center of the universe, is divided into three sections. You have the Chatzer, the courtyard. You have the Azara, the Heichel, the Oyel Mayit, and you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Beis HaMikdash also had. Beis HaMikdash had the Azara, the outer space, without a roof, it was open to everybody. You had the Heichel, the inner sanctuary, where you had the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was off limits only to the Kohen Gadol. Three sections in the Beis HaMikdash that basically represent and reflect these three components in God's universe. You also have it in the Jewish people. You have the Kohen and the Levi and the Yisrael. You have the Yisrael and Levi, you have the Kohen, and you have the Kohen Gadol. The difference between these three is, in the outer part of the Beis HaMikdash, it was Hoyve V'Nifsit. Things came and things went. Things were being burnt and consumed constantly. That's the first category. Then you have the Heichel, which was already, there was still physicality and spirituality there, but more in a fixed fashion. And then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, which is like a Tzura B'lichaymer, and only one Jew went in there. And that's the Kohen Gadol and Kodesh HaKadoshim. The outer one was for Yisraelim, Levim. The inner one was for the Kohenim, and then you have the Kohen Gadol. In the time, we also have weekdays, Shabbos, and Yom Kippur. Weekdays are compared to the outer part of the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbos, the inner sanctuary. That's when they used to eat the Lechem Haponim from the inner part. And then Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Kohen Gadol only went in on Yom Kippur. And these three categories in Kabbalah, you have Bria, you have Yetzirah, you have Asiyah, you have Machshava, you have Dibur Maisa. I'm just mentioning that these three become a very fundamental idea in understanding the spiritual structure of the universe. Halacha Tes. Kol Hanim Tzoyim Chutz Min Abayri. Mitzurah Rishoyna ad Yitush Katan Shiyir Betabura Oretz Hakol Mikoyech Hamitosei Nimtzu. All existences from the highest form of spiritual energy until the smallest mosquito, the smallest Yitush, Betabura Oretz. Betabura Oretz literally means in the center, in the depths of the earth, all of them, all of existence besides the Creator, Hakol Mikoyech Hamitosei Nimtzu, all came into being from the existence of Hashem's truth. Like we said in Perek Aleph, Me'amita Simotzi, it comes from the truth of Hashem. Ulafishu Yedeya Atzma Yomaki Gdulosi Vesivarti Vamitosoi, Hu Yedeya Hakel Vendover Nela Mimenu. People often ask, does Hashem know everything, right? So he says, since he knows himself, and he recognizes his infinity, his greatness, his beauty, and his truth, so Hashem knows everything, and nothing is hidden from him. Why? Because everything comes from Hashem. Everything is me'amita simotzi. It comes from the influence, from the energy, from the true existence of Hashem. So does Hashem know everything? Does Hashem know everything? It's a gewaldic story. The Pinchas Karitzer was one of the great Hasidic masters, a student of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Pinchas Karitzer had a disciple, had a chassid, and he was having a lot of doubts. Does Hashem really know me? Does Hashem care about me? Does God know what's happening with my life? He was having this turmoil and this agony. If God exists, he's so big, he's so infinite, he's so titanic. Does he really know what's happening, mamish, in my heart? And he was desperate for an answer, so he went to his Rebbe, Pinchas Karitzer. This is the story. And he comes to his Rebbe's home. Pinchas Karitzer comes out to the porch to greet him. And he says, in Yiddish, he says, Ich weiß, und der Rebbeinu Shalom weiß nicht. Even I know what's happening in your heart. And the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't know what's happening in your heart. But here the Rambam tells us the mechanism of it. Do you know what's happening in your own self? Do you need somebody to give you information about what you're feeling, or what you're thinking, or what you're experiencing? No, why? Because it's me. It's part of my brain. It's coming from my brain. My brain is aware of what is inside of it. Says the Rambam, everything comes from Amitas Imotzi. So therefore, Nothing is concealed. Hashem knows everything, not only the big things, the tiniest, tiniest detail Hashem is aware of. Yud, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Amitoi V'yodeya Oisekamai Shehi. Hashem recognizes his truth and knows it as is, which means he knows it objectively. He does not know with a knowledge which is external to him in the way that we know things. Because we and our knowledge are not one. Aval Abayri Yisbarach Hashem, the Creator, Hu V'daitei V'chayav Echad Mekol Tzadam Mekol Pinu Mekol Derech Yichud. He, his knowledge, his life, are one from all sides and corners in every conceivable type of unity. Were he to live as life is usually conceived, or know with a knowledge that is external from him, that means there would be many gods. Who? He, Chayav, his life, Daitoi, and his knowledge. That's not true. He's one from all sides and all corners and all angles in all manners of unity, in the most powerful form of unity. If this is the case, you could say this. He is the knower. He is the subject of knowledge, and he is the knowledge itself, and it's all absolutely one. Meaning by the human being, we have three forms. We have three categories. There's the yodea, there is the yodua, and there is the dea. The yodea is the knower, the I, the observer. The yodua is the subject of knowledge. And the dea is the instrument that I'm using in order to perceive that knowledge. Those are three things. The yodea, the person who knows. The I that is behind it. There is the yadua, the matter that is known, that I now acquire, hopefully, through my knowledge. And there is the deya, there is the intellectual faculty, the tools, the cognitive tools I'm using in order to acquire knowledge. So it's three separate things. Yodea, yadua, and deya, says the Rambam. Hashem, it's all one. Hu ayedeya, hu ayadua, hu adeya. That which is known, and the eye that knows it, and the instrument that's using to know it, it's all completely unified and integrated, and not integrated from different pieces, like he said in chapter 1, but completely and absolutely one. This matter is beyond the ability of the mouth to articulate, the ear to hear, or the capacity of the heart to grasp. That's why we see that we have in Tanakh and Chumash, in Bereshis, we have Chei Parai. Chei Parai means by the life of Parai, or Chei Nafshech is another expression in Shmuel, by the life of your soul. When it comes to Hashem, he'll never say by the life of God. He'll say Chai Hashem, as God lives. Why? Because by the other person, by Parai, there is the life of Parai, by the life of Parai. But by Hashem, Ein Abayri V'chayav Shnayim. Hashem and his life are not two separate things. As are the lives of living beings or the lives of angels. Lefichach, by Hashem, it's completely one. Lefichach, Ein Makir Abruim V'yoyda Machmas Abruim K'may Shonu Yoydin Oysam Ala Machmas Atzma Yoyda. And therefore, Hashem does not recognize and know creation because of the creations as we know them. He doesn't know them in terms of creations as we know them. I learn about something outside of me. Ela machmas atzma yedam. He knows them from himself. Because he knows himself, he knows everything. For the existence of everything comes from him. It's dependent upon him. It comes from him. So if he knows himself, he knows literally every single thing, which all comes from Amitas Imotze, from Hashem's truth. And as a result of that, also the Rambam said, he knows it all with complete objectivity, meaning when I know something, it's outside of me. So I basically grasp it according to the capacity which I'm capable of grasping of it, based on my subjectivity, my subjective reality. By Hashem, it's all completely one. So he knows it in the truest way. That's how he started Halachiyot. The Rambam now finishes the last two halachas. Dvarim elu shamarnu. Yura, dvarim elu shamarnu bin zeh b'shnei prokem elu, k'may tipam en ayam ma'asher tzarech levar bin zeh. The concepts that we have mentioned about this subject matter in these two chapters, meaning Aleph and Beis, which discussed Hashem's reality to some degree, are like a drop from the sea when compared to what is necessary to explain. The explanation of all the fundamental principles of these two chapters is referred to as Maisa Merkava, named after the vision of Yecheskel HaNavi, who saw the Merkava, the divine chariot. So the Rambam says this is what we call Maisa Merkava. Yud Beis. The sages of the early generations commanded that these matters should not be explained except in a public lecture. They should not be discussed except to a single individual at a time, somebody who is a wise person who can reach understanding with his own powers of knowledge, meaning you could trust him to be able to relate to this and develop it in the proper way. And when you find such a person, you can present to him the fundamental ideas, and an outline of the concepts is made known to him, and then this person will continue to contemplate and meditate and perceive until he or she reaches understanding with their powers of knowledge and the ultimate meaning and depth of the concept as much as the person can. Udvarim elu dvarim amukim heim ad lema'oit. The Rambam says, I want you to know that these ideas are exceedingly profound, extremely deep. Vein kol das v'das ruyo l'savlan. And not every person has the capacity to appreciate them. V'aleim amash lema b'chachmasya b'derech mashal. It's about this wisdom that King Shlomo HaMelech described with a metaphor in Mishlei Chav Zayin. Kvasim lilivushecha. Lambs for your clothing. You use lamb, sheep, here, wool of sheep for your clothing. But the root kevesh, lamb, also means hide. Kvasim lilivushecha, kachamru chacham befirush mashal zet, dvadim shem kifshoyne shalaylam, yiyu lilivushecha. The sages said, matters which are the secrets of the world, because kevesh means a lamb, but it also comes from the word hide. It's suppressed, it's kavush, which also means conquered, which means it's suppressed, it's hidden. Kavushoysam. So it means to hide. So the Shlomo HaMelech says, things that are secrets, yilu v'shecha, they should be your clothing, meaning they will be for you alone. You should not discuss them in public. You don't take off, you know, your shirt and give it to somebody else. This should be for you. On this, Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei Perikei, they shall be for you alone and not for others with you. And he also says in Shir Hashirim Perik Dalet, Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shaynech, honey and milk will be under your tongue. The early sages explained, those things that are like honey and milk, and he uses this this metaphor of honey and milk, which of course are extremely sweet, and they provide profound sensual pleasure. The comprehension of these subjects gives a person the inner pleasure and taste of reality. This should be and kept under your tongue. So the Rambam writes the two chapters, but he concludes and he says, realize that we are dealing with profundity of a completely different caliber. This concludes Perek Beis of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Next year we will move on, Be'ezer Hashem, to the third chapter of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah.